Welcome to everyone joining. Thank you so much. Okay, Mr. Olushola was not with us in the first voice chat. Welcome, Mr. Olushola Oladimiji. Thank you so much for joining us. We are so happy to have you this evening.
Thank you so much, Narcissi. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Okay. So our time is fast spent. So Samuel has already told us what to expect from tonight's discussion. So I'm just going to go on and start with Mr. Olushola and Ms. Dazu. So I'm starting the questions with you. Are you ready, Sama?
Yes.
Okay.
Have we taken the opening prayers already?
Yes, we have. I've also introduced the speakers.
Okay, because recording just started and we know we're also going to be converting this into a podcast, please let's just make prayers before we just delve into asking questions, please.
Okay. So, Mr. Samuel, please, can you pray for us again? Samuel, are you here? Okay, so
hello. Let me can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
We
can
okay, hear okay. You. Oh, thank you. Let's just say, let her have our mindset. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity and time chance that you've brought into our life tonight. We thank you. We appreciate you. We say, may your name be praised and lifted forever in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We thank you for all the speakers you are going to be using as a vessel tonight. We thank you, Father, because you are going to be speaking through them all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we pray for every members, every participant listeners tonight that, Father, you're going to be granting unto them the spirit of wisdom, ability to understand on time, ability to understand every word, every single word I'll be dropping from here tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we pray that everyone that will be joining tonight, the eyes of understanding shall be enlightened, shall be opened in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Samuel, for the prayers. So without further ado, let's dive right in. So Mr. Olushola and Ms. Dazu, you have 25 minutes for your questions.
Sorry, I don't know if it's my phone, but I can barely hear you. But I heard Mr. Samuel loudly.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, am I loud enough now?
Yes.
Okay. So to everyone listening, you can be noting your questions as they speak. We have time for questions, so you can bring them up when it's time. So, Mr. Olushola, Ms. Dazu, our first question is, what's the purpose of cutting? Okay, sorry, please, can you tell us how long you have cutted? And before you go into telling us, what's the purpose of cutting?
Okay, is the question like directed to one of us? So to make it easier, so we know who is answering it.
Sorry, please, if your environment is noisy, mute yourself so we can have, you know, an organized space. Okay, Ms. Dazu, you can go on and answer.
All right, so how long have we cutted? All right,
yes.
We started cutting in December 16, 2020. Yes,
yeah,
so that's 1 year and 7 months. Let's just say 1 year and 7 months. So yeah, Is that the question, right? Was there another question?
Okay, yes. The next question is, what's the purpose of courting Mr. Olutolak's and Saddam's visa?
All right. Thank you once again. Good evening, everybody.
Sorry, sorry for cutting us short, right? They've already answered that question, but I feel like that question just passed, and I would want us to be a lot more lively. I would want us to be a lot more lively. Narcissi, Mr. Sam, I know that this thing, you people are the one moderating it, but please, the world is listening. We can't be acting and say, I don't get it. It's a celebration mode. It's not nobody dying, man. What is going on? Okay. yes, please. I beg. First off, I want us to I know it's not just one or two or three persons in this room. So can we just unmute? Just unmute. Let me hear two, three, four persons' voice so that at least we can just come alive. You could say hello, say hi, say good evening, because I've heard good evening how many times. Only one person answered and we are moving on. So please, let's have life a bit, please, before we get back to answering the questions. The questions are important, but it's also important that we participate so that we know that we have people following. All right? So please, if you are here, just unmute and say something, please.
Okay, I can hear you so clearly.
Great.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. I can see Ify. I can see Nomzi. Welcome.
Evening,
I can see
everyone. Boy.
Amazing. Welcome, Precious Seed. I see Daniel too. Asa Daniel, welcome. Comfort, we didn't say one million, please. All right. Okay, great. So please, I'm going to be giving the ball back to Nastifi and Samuel. I want, please drive this thing with life, I beg, right? Very important. It's so important. So let's Mr. Olushola answer the question again. Meanwhile, I missed the introduction, and because we are re-recording it, because this is going to be made a podcast. Mr. Olushola and Ms. Dazu are actually part of the panelists. All right, and they have been cutting and beautifully. They will be getting married next week. So I don't know. I feel like we suppose they ring bell.
Wow.
Do you get this environment? They will be getting married next week. So this happens to that. If you want to say there is a pass mark for courtship after you successfully courted, you now have people that are giving you result. The result is marriage. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not saying maybe if you court and you don't get married, it's a waste. All things work together for the good of them that love God. But it's beautiful for you to have actually courted, and then after you court, you're getting married. For me, that's the success, right? So these are the people that we have in our midst, and we're going to be questioning them on how they've made this thing solid. How has God helped them so far? Okay, so it's not just a question and answer session. Let it come alive. All right, this is why I say praise God.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
Okay, thank you so much, Mom Queen. Thank you. Okay, so Mr. Olushola, can we have you now?
Thank you so much. Once again, it's a privilege. I'm sorry, sir, I've joined in late. I had to come out of another meeting to join this meeting. I'm very sorry about that.
You're welcome, sir. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right, so to the question, what is the purpose of courtship? You know, I'd answer that from a very generic perspective, and I also dial it down to our personal experiences. And by the way, Sisan, we are already married. So, because did court yesterday. The next thing happening now is just the party, right? Generic, I'll say courtship is a process, you know, of two people who have love interest, you know, where they try to get to know each other, get to just have more perspective, deeper understanding of who they both are, right? So it's just like, okay, this is a period where we're just getting to know, okay, we know that we have a focus. There has to be a focus, of course, right? That we have a focus. We have something that we have something in mind, right? So we're just trying to know each other, just trying to, just like how you want to You probably have a farm, right? You probably have a farm, and then you just keep planting seeds so that it brings out something that you can harvest at the later. And so there's always something. There's always something, right? So bringing it down to us in practical terms, you know, when it all started, we had like there was a purpose. There was something we were aiming at. Yeah, and that was what we worked towards. You know, first off, we were friends. You know, just basic, right? And then when we got committed, you know, there has to be, so keywords, commitment. So in culture, there's commitment. So we...
Wow.
Hello?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Yeah, okay, so it is in that commitment that you guys get to, you know, just know what this other person likes, get to find out a lot more other things. And with the focus I have in mind, the focus is believed to be married. Believed to be married. Other things might happen and you guys decide that not you guys are not, but the focus is believed to be married. So, and if marriage is going to happen, of course, that marriage is eternal, is long term, is forever, right? Well, I mean forever in this our earthly realm. Yes, so yes. At least, so before you guys get into marriage, you have to, you know, of course, know how things are, what this person likes, what this person doesn't like, and all of that. So yeah, that is what I think courtship is. And of course, it's not time bound. For some people, it happens 3 months, it happens 6 months, it happens. You might want to ask me what, but let me leave the question to you. Yeah, so that is what courtship is to me. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's so interesting. So you talked about being focused and having marriage in mind. So did you experience challenges like probably arguments, disagreements that would have probably made you break the whole thing up, but because you had commitments, like, okay, the question, did you experience challenges? Let me know, answer it for you. Did you experience challenges while courting?
Did I experience challenges?
Yes.
You know, I'm not asking you again. I'm actually like, I'm asking myself, you know, to them thinking about it.
Yes, okay. maybe there are some times, maybe there are some days whereby you just feel like, oh, I just feel like ending this thing. I don't want to continue. I'm, you know, that's just what she's trying to ask you.
Yeah, I understand the question. I'm, you know, I'm trying to have flashbacks. You know, can I be very, if I'll be very sincere with you, I'm very sincere and truthful with you, I never had that moment where I wanted to like break, say, okay, I'm not doing it again. I never once had that moment, because we were actually very good friends. Our friendship was solid. I was very solid before we started, you know, before we started. So in fact, when we started dating, it was awkward for the first 2 weeks. It was awkward. It was strange, you know. Let me give you a backlog. You know, for the very longest of time, you know, I never believed in relationship. In fact, this is my first relationship anyway. I never believed in relationship.
Wow.
I always thought of it that there's nothing. If you are my friend, I believe that, okay. I have a lot of friends, right? So I always think of, you know, I don't need any female. I don't need any special tag on any girl that you are my babe. And then, because what am I going to be doing differently with you? You know, if it's to talk, I have enough females I can talk with. If it's to wash clothes, because girls have offered themselves, that was in school, by the way, to come out, you know, do all those menial jobs. But of course, because there's a foundational Christian background, that some things can never be agreed to. So I always think of it that, what is the purpose of being in a relationship? You know, what will I be doing with you differently? But with her, it was a lot more different, because we already had that. Our friendship was very, very solid. I never had her kind in another person. So it was such a solid friendship. So when we metamorphosed into a relationship, of course, there was a good already from the before we started dating. We have already talked about all these things. So when it started, there was already a goal. There was something we were already aiming at. So there was no time where there was so much of a disagreement, and I felt like I wanted a breakup. That time never happened. But at the end of that, like small agreement, arguments and all of that. Yeah, a little of it. Of course, we have two different personalities. Of course, we align in a lot of ways, and we have some little differences. And those are places where we might have like maybe. And I think, and for example, you know, that also can be very, 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 very detailed, very detailed. For me, I can be very spontaneous. Like if we are going from here to like point A, that's where we are going to. While we are on that journey from point A to point B, I've already like seen like 15 routes, and I want to branch those 15 routes. You know, so I'm so spontaneous. So, and that on its own can, you know, cause a lot of, you know, disagreement and all that. But there's never been to a point where we have to say that I'm not doing it again. And there are also, I think, we also build the friendship and relationship on honesty. So whenever somebody is not feeling something, or whenever I think something should be done appropriately, you don't let it plant a seed in your heart. You find a way to communicate it, you know, in a way that is pleasant. Even if the other person will be angry, you at least will know that you'll try as much as possible to be understanding. We try to have that honesty in place where it just helps solving issues a lot more better. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You did justice to that question. Thank you for answering. So this just affirms the need for friendship in courtship and marriage. Thank you. So I'm free to call you Mrs. Dazu, right?
Just call me Dazu.
Okay.
That's very, very strange.
okay, Dazu. He can't say there's a, you know, time frame to coach you, but I would like to ask you, how many years should, do you think one should pause before saying yes, I do?
Okay. Well, like Shola said, it is not time bound. However, I think there are some things that need to be in place. For example, I hold an opinion, and it depends on how the question goes tonight. I might expand on this opinion. But I hold an opinion strongly that if you are not planning to marry, you shouldn't be in a relationship.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that, I hold that opinion so dearly because of a lot of things. Because I have seen people date for fun. I have seen people say things like, let's see how we go.
This is not very clear, please.
I don't think believers should be in relationships that they are...
Okay, so
your voice is feeling low. Like, I'm barely having to put my phone in my ear.
Oh, wow. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear, but not so many people can hear you.
Oh, yes, wow. We can hear now.
Hello?
Hello? I can hear you. They said they can hear you now.
Sister, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it's still not. It's fine. Let's manage this.
Okay, I don't really know what's going on. All right, so I'm going to be as loud as possible. All right, so I was saying that Shola said something about it's not supposed to be time bound. Like there is no time stamp for everybody. But I hold an opinion that if you don't have marriage in view, you have no business being in a relationship. In fact, I will advise that before you get into a relationship, have a tentative date or just have a month or something in your mind that this time we're going to get married. That gives the relationship a lot more definition. It helps the relationship to kind of pilot towards the right direction. So yes, I'm not going to say do it for 3 months, do it for 6 months, or do it for 1 year. I'm just going to say make sure that you have a plan that you are aiming at. But for the purpose of the kind of conversation we are going to be having this evening, I think if you are going to avoid certain things happening in your relationship, I do not think you should start exceeding, let's say, oh, we've been together for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. What are you doing? So all of this stuff, I think it should just be put into consideration.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Desmond. So going into the... our discussion for tonight proper, it's courtship and fornication. So, how far would you say is too far in a relationship or courtship? That is with regards to sexual purity now.
All right. So, because of my experience and where I am coming from, I really think that anything you would not do with a normal friend, don't do it in a relationship.
I can't hear that.
Oh, God.
It's not very clear. Please.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Jesus, yes.
Yes, yes.
All right. So, apparently, I think I... All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I think Apple does not like Telegram. I had to switch to my Android. So, yeah. What did you say?
I said you sound better. You sound more audible, actually.
Awesome. All right. So, can you hear me now, Sisan?
Yes, clearly, like very clearly.
Oh, great. So I was saying that because of where I am coming from, which I might share a bit of if questions get to that point, I sincerely think that anything you cannot do with your opposite sex friend, I don't think you should do it in a relationship. Like, if it gets to the point that you have to start doing certain things that are that you just know that if I do this with a friend, I am crossing a line, then you shouldn't be doing it with somebody you are not married to yet. So yeah, for me, that's how far is too far. So I don't want to start saying, oh, don't hold our nails. No. That boundary you have with your friends, exercise the same thing with the person you are not married to. Now, this is not to say that emotions will not kick in. This is not to say that you won't feel like taking it further. I'm just saying that if you are able to have that at the back of your mind before you step into the relationship, just maybe that will give you ample time before you all your emotions. Because I tell you for a fact that it gets harder. The longer it gets, the harder it gets. So, yes. But if you have that at the back of your mind at the start of the relationship, that would buy you some time till you marry.
Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting. Thank you for answering. Okay, Mr. Ashwala, are you here with us?
I can hear you.
Okay. So Dazzle has sort of answered it, but because of how, you know, recurrent the question is on people's mind, I would still love to ask you, can one kiss while courting, like, is kissing also a sin? Because that's one of the purpose of tonight's discussion. It's a question that, you know, bugs the mind of many believers even. Because there are some people argue, okay, it's clearly stated in the Bible, you know, do not engage in sexual immorality. But some people feel like, okay, it's actually okay to kiss. So I would love to hear your opinion on it.
All right. Thank you once again for the question, right? And I'm going to answer the question this way. I think that we glorify sin too much. And we find excuses for it in this little act. So kissing is a big deal. Kissing is not a big deal, right? And I think the issue, the conversation here is not the conversation of kissing or not. The conversation here is the conversation of what is your heart telling you. I mean, it is, you know that if you dip your hand in fire, your hand is going to get burnt, right? It's so obvious. Yes. If you think that if you kiss, this is what is going to happen, what do you think is going to happen? You are a Christian. Like, so the back and forth of is kissing right or kissing wrong. Bro, sis, you are a Christian. You are a Christian. It's as clear and in that it's as obvious as if you dip your hand in fire or if you walk into the beach, what is going to happen to you when the wave is coming? Right. I'm not comparing the kiss and the wave. I'm just saying that it's simple. It's just that it's not that deep. It shouldn't be an issue of confusion. You are a Christian. This is what it is. So is kissing a sin or not? The issue is not that. That's not the issue. The issue is that what is your heart saying? When you attempted to kiss, what happened? What did the Holy Spirit in you? What did that alarm signal in your heart? If the alarm is cool and calm and is fine, go ahead. If that means nothing is wrong with it. But if you know that something off inside you, imagine this is how I see it. It might not be entirely true, but I feel like when we have to start going back and forth with having the like dragging debating for or against an issue like this, then I just think a lot of the influencers I might see online are Christians, they are kissing and all of that, but then bro, this thing is a personal, your relationship is personal, what God is quite is a lot personal. Right.
Yeah.
So that is how I'm going to answer that question. That's how I'm gonna when you thought about kissing, what happened? What did the Holy Spirit that Holy Spirit alarm? Did he ring a bell? Did he ring it? Don't go there. Or did he say, oh, you can go for that? So that is how I choose to answer that question. Thank you.
Okay. Wow, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Mr. Olushola. Okay, if you are enjoying this conversation and this discussion and you are still here, please let me hear you. You can just say something, you know.
Hello, I'm here.
The conversation is going interesting. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Okay, thank you so much for staying. So, one more question for Mr. Olushola, or Mr. and Mrs. Olushola. Okay. So, Mr. Olushola, I'll direct this to you. You answer, and probably Daz also answers. So, can fornicating affect
something about this kissing thing? I just find it very pertinent to like chip in something.
Okay, go.
Yeah, because I think Shola said something now that some people might just interpret as that means if I don't feel anything bad about going ahead, I'm just going to go ahead. I don't know if you get that. So yes, I just want to quickly say that sometimes you may have shut the Holy Spirit up plenty times. At that point, you won't even hear anything. Like many times, because I feel like it starts from the heart. The will to go ahead to do something starts from the heart, right? So if at the point of conjuring the thought, you have silenced that voice telling you this is not it, at the point of the action, you might not hear anything. So yes, I genuinely think that when we start to debate things like, is it a sin? I think that's because even the Bible says that all things may be lawful, but they are not expedient. We know that kissing is not sex, but when we're about to put it in a bracket of things that they are used for, it is part of it, because who kisses with their hands tied to their back?
True.
Nobody does. So yes, I just needed to clarify that. So, and I think that one of the proof of your Christianity is when you no longer ask the question, is it a sin? Is when you start to ask the question, does it glorify God? Is it edifying? Right. When you start to ask yourself questions like that, that's when you have moved from the stage of, oh, because questions like, is it a sin? I feel like it's just you looking for an excuse to soothe your flesh. I used to be there, looking for an excuse to just soothe your flesh. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay. God bless you. God bless. Thank you, Dazu. Thank you so much. Thank you for the clarity. Okay. So, lastly, Mr. Olushola, I was directing this to you. Okay. So, can fornication affect one's marriage, even when you know that this is the person you are going to marry? Because some people give the excuses that, well, we are going to marry, so there's no need not having sex, or there's no need like keeping sex to marriage. It's you I'm going to marry, right? So how does it still affect one's marriage?
Okay.
I think and I know that it affects marriage, because you know one of the things that you long for in a marriage is supposed to be sex. And all the activities around it. So if you've already taken all of those things, like you've sucked all the juice like out of what you're supposed to be longing for, what is there to expect? Again, you know, it's just like, let me give you a typical scenario. You know, the more like a girl snubs a guy, the more the guy really likes the girl, you know, because there's something beautiful about scarcity. There's something beautiful about not, there's something that just makes you want more of something you literally don't have. It's why a lot of us are working so hard to get money, because we don't have all the money. So I think that once sex becomes a normal thing in a relationship, right, there's the ability to long for it, you know, in marriage might not be the ability to look forward to it in marriage will entirely reduce. So it might not really make the guy, for example, want to really proceed to that commitment. Yeah, of course, some people proceed, you know, all of that there. But then I'm not saying that it might not really make there might be nothing to like look forward to. And also I feel like in a relationship where marriage is not in view, it doesn't make the guy, for example, to put so much premium and value on the woman, because you have seen everything. You have like, you know, so you've seen everything. What is there? What is there to be seen? Like what else? So I genuinely feel like, you know, it takes away. There's a different spice that comes with keeping yourselves to marriage. There's something different about it. And there's something also glorious about it. It was a command from God. So, and if you guys love God, you'll do what God has asked you both to do, because you guys are believers, right? I believe we're talking about believers in religion now. So you guys are believers. So if you love God, you'll do what he has asked you to do. So yeah.
Okay. Wow. You've said so many profound things. Thank you, Mr. Olushola. Dazu, would you want to add to what he has said?
Yeah, I'm just going to piggyback on the last thing he said about if you love God, you do what he has said. Now, being in a relationship is not your life goal, right? So you don't have to die there. Like, you don't have to say... Like, it's not the place where you now go and when you get there, you now say, oh, yeah, this is it. I must do everything to make sure that... No, it's not it. Like, it is even God that helps in relationships, right? It is even God... It is... The idea of marriage is God's own in the first place, right? So you can't... There's nothing you can do to keep it. And this is me speaking to people that think they can use sex to keep a man. Or to keep a woman or whatever. Like, it is God's design. And if God says, if the manufacturer of a thing says, do not use it this way, I think it is folly to want to use it that way. Like, if you buy a phone and tell you that do not use it this particular way, you will listen. But the one that made you told you that don't do this before this, and you think that there's a way you can outsmart it, I really think it is folly to want to outsmart the original design of a thing. And also, from experience, I can also say that there is a way that fornication opens. Now, I'm not trying to scare you or trying to bring you a message of doom, because it's not even the working of God. The Bible says that when we defile our body, it's a sin even against ourselves and unto the Lord. So as a believer, the fact that you even do it is enough reason for you to already feel bad and all that. But I can also tell you for a fact that there is a way that fornication opens your spirit portal up to demonic attacks. Now, this is what I mean. I'm not even saying that maybe somebody collected your glory. Nobody needs to collect your glory. You just begin to see that you are not thinking clearly. You are not seeing clearly. You're not downloading the things you should be downloading from God. You can be in a bondage and you cannot see. You are just not gleaning anything. God has not spoken to you for 2 months and you think it is normal. These are the reasons. Mm. So this is why even when you find yourself falling into that sin, don't lick your wound too much. Run back to God. Because you just might be setting up yourself for some demonic feasting. They come to feast on your inadequacies. That's when you start feeling depressed. That's when you start feeling not enough. That's when you start asking him, so what do you think? What do you think about my body? And if we tell you, no, I don't like this, and then you're already worried, you're already thinking of, you're already Googling 5 ways I can reduce my breast and all those kind of things. So just don't do it.
True. Wow. Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Shola and Ms. Dazu. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. So if you are still here, can I hear you?
Yes, we're still here. We are here.
Hello.
Okay, so I'm about to do fastest fingers for people with ether lines. Okay, again, if you have questions, please note them. Our time is going fast, so we're going to have a time for questions. So please, you can either type them on the group or note them when it's the time we'll ask you. So fastest fingers for ether lines. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes. We are here.
Okay. So it's fastest fingers, right? So I'm going to call it pretty fast. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yes, we.
Okay, Airtel. 1777. 2481. 2738. 5403.
I'm not getting
fuck.
Who got it?
It's me, Roy.
Oh, Roy. Okay, so we are going on a short break. Congratulations to you, Roy. We still have Airtel and Kintin and Glow to go, so stay tuned. We take that break, we'll be back soon.
Okay.
Have you ever listened to Women to the Queen podcast? Would you love to be part of a community committed to growth and development through faith, capacity building, and mind transformation? Are you ready to give your all to move from whatever state you are now into a better phase of life? Then be a part of something awesome. The Moment with the Queen community is a community geared towards your lifting, so in the end, you can lift others. We are all a work in progress. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Moments with the Queen Community. Remember, transformation is in action.
Right. Thank you so much for staying in tune. Welcome back. So I'm going to hand over to my co-moderator to take over the rest of the session. Mr. Samuel, you can come in, please.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Can you all hear me, please? Hello, everybody. Can you all hear me?
Yes, hello. Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Nas, thank you so much, too. Thank you. Mr. Olushola and Ms. Dazu, thank you so much. You guys really the answers to the questions are just so interesting and full of knowledge. I really have a lot of knowledge. Thank you so much, sir. So without wasting much of our time tonight, because the time is running faster, so I'm just going to be asking you guys some few questions I have here, and I think I would like to start with Mr. Olushola. Are you there, sir?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay, thank you. The question goes this way. Mr. Queen Season, rather. Sorry, Hello, are you there, ma?
I can hear you.
Okay. Thank you so much, ma. Thank you. The first question is this. In this modern world whereby everywhere you are going to work, there's this sexual, videos playing on the billboards. You are trying to browse the internet on your phone. You just see suddenly a sexual something just pop out of your phone. So in this kind of situation and in this kind of the world where we are right now, how can we, still keep ourselves pure? And during the moment of courtship like that, how can we still keep ourselves free from fornicating and all of that? Please, I would like you to just speak briefly on this.
All right. Holiness is non-negotiable. Holiness has to be non-negotiable, right? And the more it looks impossible in this present time, the more we need to work on our heart, because if the heart is not fertile if the heart is not strong enough against the things that it sees, it's going to get consumed. Even the Bible says that we should guard our heart diligently because out of it flows the issues of life. And the issues of life that keep flowing is because of like the residue that already internalized, right? So how do you combat all of these things that we keep seeing even when you don't search for them? I think for me personally, right, there are a lot of times that I uninstall all my social media platforms. Like when sometimes I just feel like this thing is just way too much, right? I just uninstall all my apps on my phone and I just take a while away from it and all of that. And there are other times too that I might just be going on the street, like you're seeing somebody walking, like almost, I don't know if I got your question right. You're talking about how do we like manage seeing all of this? Yeah,
exactly, sir. In this tempting world, how can we still keep ourselves pure and all of that?
Yeah. So I think you have to be able to control your heart, control your eyes. If you see somebody that is dressed in a way, you don't have to look the second time. Like the first time, like of course your eyes might just wander, like your eyes might just go like on, you didn't know, like I just, of course that is, but you don't have to look again the second time, right? That is for seeing. If you're on Instagram, you saw a post, you don't have to click, you saw a post or you don't have to click on that image, or you don't have to go to the person's profile to check. It does not necessarily just scroll through. So if you train yourself doing this so often, you already get used to it, because I think the entire reason for our existence is that we are training ourselves, we are adopting new habits. So no habit jumps at you. See, if you masturbate, it didn't just happen out of chance. It was a habit that you developed and you gave so much attention to. And if you want to let go of that habit, start doing the opposite. When you feel like masturbating, go and pray. If I had 5-10 minutes, that feeling is going to go away. Just the feeling that you gave so much attention to. So it's the same way to manage temptations. When you see something that is tempting, don't look at it twice. If you do it over and over again, your system, your soul will get so used to it that even if it happens that you look at that thing 5 times after 2-3 months, it will never have that effect that it will have on you some months back. I don't know if it's clear. I think that's the way to manage, and of course staying prayerful. When you feel like you are feeling so weak in a particular area, it's an area where you have to pay a lot of attention to. You don't have to lie or hide to yourself. If social media is causing a lot of distraction, I know you can't help yourself. Uninstall all the apps. If your apps, and I have the opinion that if any of the social media apps is too, if it's too big for you to uninstall, then it's a problem. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much. Just there's something you made mention of now about concerning the eye. It made me remember a story. I think someone told me. And this man, he got blind. He was blind and he was asking God, God, what can you do to just make me see? And God is saying, God told him, said, no, the reason why I kept your eyes blind is because I'm saving you. I'm trying to save your life. So thank you so much for that. So right now, the next question I wanted is going to meet a coin season. Are you with us, ma?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ma. So this is the next question. We want to ask that can fornicating affect our future marriage, even when we know she is the one. Yes, he is the one I'm going to be getting married to, and probably maybe it happened. What effect can it bring on the future marriage that we are heading towards?
Okay. I actually wrote something down.
Okay.
To allow response to that question. So I'm happy that it's actually coming again. I want to start, with the baseline that we don't obey God basically because if we do not obey him, we can physically see the disadvantages of what that disobedience would cause. We obey God because we are to live in accordance to God's word, and God's word should be enough for us, whether it makes sense to us or not. That's the baseline. That's the foundation. Then I think everything that Shola and Dazzle said, Dazzle went spirits, and she spoke about the fact that it could dumb your spiritual sensitivity. So what I want to add is this. You see, the world we are in right now, the social norm, what even happens is the moment you have a boyfriend, it's like you have a legal, or a partner, a girlfriend as the case may be, it's like you have a legal, so you are committed to have sex with this person. And it is so penetrating right now that, what I wanted to talk about, because Shola said something that you might even, in a man, he might start to devalue the lady. Where we are in society right now even is such that men, the woman who says no sex, and she's not saying it and saying, some people used to say it just to sound nice, and then at the end of the day, everybody is having sex and, we're talking about somebody that has strong opinions about this thing. There are some men and women who it is absolutely alien to the church. So this is one I want to address. I'm talking about you are in a relationship and you see sex in a relationship as normal. It is abnormal when you enter and somebody's trying to tell you that sexual purity. I'm talking about this thing even happens even with some pastors. It's normal to just have sex as far as you have that. And to them, it doesn't really stop me from... I love her. I see other things about her that are also nice. And I will probably marry her. But we've been having sex, right? So I just wanted to still state that the fact that something is being done does not make it right. So I want to bring a scriptural reference. I think it's Hebrews 13, verse 4. I want to be sure that I got the scripture correctly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. The scripture that says, it says, marriage is honorable, bed undefiled. Yes, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, I remember that these things that we are saying is, for me, I always like to say from scriptures, because if the word of God does not satisfy you, stop calling yourself a Christian. There's no need for us to act holy to his good pleasure, right? So now, in the society, men and women see sex as normal. But what does the Bible say about it? Shola said something, and we're talking that when you start having banters, is it a sin? Is it not a sin? You know that you're just trying to gratify your flesh. Because the question is beyond that. Right, so moving on to whether fornication would affect, yes, it would. You can see two people that will stand up one day and say it's a lie. I've seen people who they had sex, we have all these silly banters up and down. They had sex, their marriage even lasting longer. I saw the other one, they married a virgin, a marriage has crashed, So I'm not going to state so that nobody will say the rules. Don't fornicate. My marriage is going to be awesome. I did not fornicate. And at the end of the day, there are several rules that make for a balanced life as a believer. There are several rules that make for a balanced life. But one of the reasons why God tells us to even stay away from fornication, which I personally have experienced, and is memories. You know, there is nothing as annoying as you are thinking about this man, or you are with this man and you are thinking about this man, or you are with this woman and you're thinking about this other woman, or you have, so you know, when somebody tells you you're not good enough for me, when a man begins to say I like big breasts, it's because you have tested big, tested medium, tested, so you now have a choice. You now know that this is how it's supposed to be. But the truth of the matter actually is that this is not, these are not the things that, this is not the, it's all about, right? So like Shola said, we glorify sin a lot. That's what causes his flesh. All these things, this debate is a fleshly debate. So the truth of the matter is, I'm going to go back to the word of God says, marriage is honorable, bed on the fire. That should satisfy you. Anything that your flesh is saying otherwise, because you see maybe somebody in Big Brother house is doing this, is you're trying to satisfy your flesh. You are not satisfied with what the word of God says, and you will answer to your father in the last day. It's not me that will stand there for you. You're not going to see something and say, I saw Quincy's and doing this thing, so I will answer to God too, but you will also answer to our Bible. So that's what I'm going to take. I'm just going to take it first of all that you should be satisfied in the word of God before I tell you whether yes it will be or no it wouldn't be, you know. So that's that.
Wow, this is just too amazing. Thank you so much for this beautiful answer. Thank you so much, ma'am. There's another awesome question I have here that I think is a kind of question that people always have it in mind that they are confused about it. So, ma, I would also like you to shed more light to it. Just like what you've said so far, ma, what if probably sex happened during courtship or something? Should we go ahead to break the relationship, or to just go, or should we continue, or should we end it? What should we do, ma'am? Please, I need you to just attend to this question.
You know that the truth of the matter is, when God tells us not to do things, or when he says we shouldn't do things, it's for our own preservation. No longer a child of God, or you've lost faith. The problem is when your heart becomes dead, and it happens the first time, happens the second time, happens the third time. Some people will say, we're back in grace. Jesus has paid it all. Lord has done it for me. And you keep on having... That one is one side, right? But if it happens, and your conscience is alert, and of course you ask the Lord for mercy, what I would tell you practically, set boundaries. Sex doesn't happen on the main road. There's something my pastor used to say. That if two people are trying to cuddle and kiss, once Moshe just runs inside, the demon is to run out. So you see these things happen in sickness. You know, it's the truth, because you say, but you found yourself. So it's like, oh, first of all, I'm thinking of going on, I want to go to his place for the week. It's not these little boundaries that we actually allow to sleep. That's where it happens from. So I went to see her. Not out of place, that's what I'm trying to say, but your spirit, your heart must be alive to be able to know that, okay, we crossed this line. We need to straighten that line, because the line is now blurry. And if you have the spirit of God in you, the point where God will tell you, leave that relationship first, because whenever you get to a point where you install a relationship or a person over God, somebody that you can sin with, and it's no longer so much of a big deal, right? So even if it has happened, it has, like, you had a very terrible past. Now you know, you are listening to this message right now, and you know, just make it right with God. I'm not going to, at least have the willingness to want to follow and obey God, and you see what God will make out of you. That's basically it. So it's a boundary.
Wow. That's also beautiful. Thank you so much, ma. Can everybody, are we still around? Please, can you just make a comment if you know you can still hear us? Please, can you just say something?
Hello, I'm here.
I'm here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, ma.
Can I quickly say something? I'm so sorry for butting in like this.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to like say something about the question of, oh yeah, if we have sex, what should we do, blah blah blah. Yeah, I'm going to go back to that thing almost everybody here has mentioned. I plan to mention it just now. Sometimes we like to ask questions that will, you know, gratify ourselves. You know, because sometimes in a relationship where you are having sex often, I can bet that the only problem in that relationship is not sex. There are plenty other things that are wrong in that place. So yeah, even if you don't eventually stop having sex, because the girl tells the guy, oh no, I don't want to have sex, and the guy now say, okay, no problem, I will wait. Because I have seen people be in relationships that, okay, the reason they are not having sex is because the guy is waiting for the girl, or the girl is waiting for the guy to be ready. That's not why. That's not why. So, see, like I said something that sounded funny the other time, that relationship is not the place to go and lose your senses. You have an audience of one, which is God. It's not the place. See, the goal of your life, the only thing God wants to do with you is not only marriage or relationship. So anything that takes you further from him, even if it is a relationship, even if the sign you got to enter that relationship was a cackling sign, there was an earthquake, rain fell from heaven, and then you saw the picture of the person in the cloud, whichever way you got your confirmation, the moment you begin to see that this thing is not going in alignment with what God is telling you, this is why relationship is not where you go for your spirit to go and keep quiet. It's where you have to continually stay alive. So yes, don't try and say, oh, they say we should stop. So let's just stop for now. And we'll get married in 2 months and we'll continue. That's not it. Check for other things. What are the other things that are in and all this stuff? So it's a very robust place. So you just have to make sure that your spirit is open and you're hearing God at time. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, this is awesome. Thank you so much for this beautiful contribution, man. Thank you so much. I hope you are putting something down. Can you hear me, please?
We can hear you.
Yes, I hear you.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, thank you. So, thank you so much, Queen. Thank you. So, the next question we have here, during your previous, the question you just have finished, just like maybe you know, setting boundaries. So, please, a lot of people are confused. They be like, oh, okay, she said we should put, you know, set boundaries. So what kind of if I should ask now, what boundaries can we set during courtship that can help us avoid fornication? Please, ma'am, we want you to talk about this too.
I don't know. I'm going to say, I think maybe because I try to avoid rules and regulations, right? But I will just mention things that I think that you can put in place. So you know your every situation is peculiar. Some persons, their partner is living on the same street with them. Don't be going to his house every day. That's a boundary. That's the truth. It's not necessary. You go there morning, you go there in the evening. You cook for him over the weekend. If all the food that the man is eating, you are the one cooking. Oh, don't just, and I'm speaking to ladies now, don't just, you know, throw yourself there. And he's always, your face is always there to be seen. So the thing that the man will not even be the one to tell you, give me space now, give me space. It's unnecessary. Wow, wow. Let it be the one that is calling you and saying, I've missed you. Did you forget? No, I didn't forget you. I wasn't even going to call you. I hope you're fine, you know. So I just what's the word? be busy, have a life, because many times when you don't have a life, and you know, people see relationships, some persons, and sadly even believers, see relationships as hallmark of achievement and accomplishment. I don't know where we read it in the Bible. So some people think that once you are able to catch man or you're able to catch woman, I don't know, vice versa, you have done the Lord's work. I know God said we should come and multiply, yes, but that's not the only thing he said to us, right? So why am I saying this? So some people idolize relationships so much so that, because the thing has potential, and that's the reason why I always say that if you look at the way God structured the relationship, you are supposed to be able to enter with your head before your heart and your emotions comes in, right? Because when your emotions comes in, you won't even know the boundaries to draw again. You're going to see a guy. You know very well that this is somebody that likes you. There is always that tendency. Even normally, this skirt and shirt, if you are wearing it out of your house, you wear it, you will not be prepared. But you know who you are going to see. Now you're asking your female friends, how do I look? And they're like, now you don't know what to wear. I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about unbelievers. No. You don't know what to wear. This your dress. This one, I beg, this is make it scared. Take it out. I'm not saying don't look good, but you intentionally want to show small breasts. You don't know where that is coming from. If I call evil spirit, my face, but basically, it's flesh. Do you get? So normally, it's true. You want to be all that for this person. You want him to know that, see what you are missing, that kind of thingy, right? But don't go and do it and lead the Son of God into temptation. I don't make you understand. You will forget that you are a believer. And the same thing with the guy. So one person will say, of course, when you're going to see this person in question, mind what you wear. Help him. He already likes you, trying to keep himself. Then you now want to do drop dead gorgeous in a very negative way. So that's also another way to set boundaries. These things are little, they sleep. For the guys, you have the money to ask her to enter the next flight and come to Lagos. But hold yourself. You push, you calm down. Instead, channel the money and start thinking of how you can start planning wedding if he really do you so strongly, right? Avoid having her coming to your house to come and cook day in, day out. You've not married her. There are just some things that you should leave for the union of marriage. So me, I'm not, I don't know, I might have left out a lot of things, but the truth of the matter is that you are in a relationship, you know the boundaries that you should draw. Some people, their own is sex chatting. They will say, okay, Clay, I'm not doing anything physical with this person. All those things, the same thing we're talking about is flesh. You know, I'm not doing anything physical with this guy, but I can, if I talk, if I chat, some people, they don't know how to open their mouth. But if you see what they are doing with their fingers on WhatsApp, and technology makes this thing so easy, you send somebody, this is what I'm going to do to you. As in, you're not married though. You people are not married. You guys are cutting. And you see one naughty video of a guy and a girl that you are supposed to see and say, is this the will of God for married believers? But no. Instead, you send it to the person that you're courting and say, this is what I'm going to do to you. I don't know if you get. So some of all these chats is your, like, is at your finger like this to press send. Hold yourself back. Leave it. It's not necessary. Because before you know it, the young man, before he goes to bed, he's thinking, I don't know, you know, but God help us. So this is a list. This may not be one person's peculiar list, right? But I would ask you to listen to the Holy Spirit even more. You'll be the one to tell you what boundaries to actually put. Like me, God helped me during my own courtship. He first gave me distance. If you leave me, I prefer to pack my load and make sure that I'm staying close to the person that I'm courting, so that at least if you do me any, I need somebody to talk to, listen to me, I'll be able to see him. I like to see. But God already gave the distance. So I tried. I'm not even going to let you. It was not easy. This thing I'm saying now, I'm not saying it because I'm like, you say, yes, you get it. You it's easy for you. That's why you're saying it. Not true. It's the decision to please God is a greater priority than whatever it is that my flesh might be feeling. Well, I have had to send messages like, I don't know what they do me. Oh, which guy will come with this on top of my matter? I don't know. This is real. But I would rather enter somebody's DM and tell the person that hold your girl, pray for your sister, than allow Satan to use me to tempt. I don't know if you get it. So basically, you know where your problem lies. It's best that you fix it wherever it is that it's, you know. So that's it for me.
Wow, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. I really I'm so blessed you have that. I hope we are all learning here to can make sure you put something down, just like I said. This is really amazing. So ma'am, thank you so much for that. The last question, this will be the last question. I think you are just the best in position to answer this question. So let me just ask now. How has staying sexually poor during your courtship helped you in marriage? Please, can you just share with us?
Yeah, I said it earlier. I said it has helped me. Remember, I don't have nonsense memories to battle. When I came into my marriage, my wedding night was a beautiful night. I anticipated it. Not like some people for wedding night now, like for some person, there's nothing really special or nothing really so special. Like, I don't know if you get, but for me, it was special. And I also got to see that, you see, everything that actually happens to us as humans, when we relate, like if God is in our relationship with God, God can teach you with anything and everything, right? So I got to find out that I started understanding intimacy with God, pure and beautiful intimacy with God, from what I was enjoying with my partner. And I got to understand that God says he's a jealous God. That's why he doesn't like that we are flirting around, idolizing social media, idolizing whatever it is that is not God, right? It's like there's this noise in the background that is affecting my ear. I don't know who's playing. I don't know where this noise is coming from. Like music playing. If it can be muted, please. Just music in the background or something. Somebody's background, please.
This is from Mr. Samu.
Okay, sorry.
All right. So, yes. So for me, one thing that God really helped me with is really memories. Like my, I don't know, I'll call it clean slate, right? I'm open to learn. God is teaching me about this. It's a beautiful experience. That heart of a child kind of this thing. And it also made me to be, you know, is when you there's so many, I don't know how to explain it. There is a way, little things that Satan allows us to indulge in. And then maybe you don't come out of it properly. You don't heal well. You now be thinking of which one should I share with my husband or which one should I not share? I didn't have all those kind of battles. Because I already came in with this transparency and this open. So I also observed that it fosters oneness and unity. You see, many things, I will tell you one thing that differentiates the marriage of a believer and the marriage of, I don't know what I'll call it, semi-believers now, because I really don't know what we are doing with ourselves. But yeah, there's this other category that's, we're supposed to be Christians too. And I'm saying this thing because I know that this is a podcast where people are going to listen. So if you're listening and maybe you're married and you fall into this category, please know that this is not the will of God. That one that you are married though, but you are still single. As in, and by single, I don't mean you single, unique, and whole, the way they talk about it. No. I mean that you're married, but you are like, shine your eye. You don't marry, but not be everything. Not this person, they know. Not be everything. You see all those wisdom, worldly wisdom that has penetrated. I don't know how it found its way, right? I got to find out that clean slate, that clean heart, that ability to, first of all, surrender my vessel to God. Because I gave God my body. So, of course, if you're not giving God your mind and your heart, to give him your body, go tough. So because I gave God my body, it was easy for God to speak, and it is easy for God to speak to me concerning certain things in my marriage. I don't know how to explain it. Because marriage, you see the emotions that you are dealing with in courtship. Emotions like, should I want to do that? I feel like doing this. And
in marriage, it's pressed down, shaking together and running over. You will see emotion because this is the person that, at least there's a way somebody will offend you or there's something that would happen and you'll be like, I want to take a breather. Not just call me today. If I will call you again, it'll be late at night and you just rest, right? In marriage, it's not like that. You are not going anywhere. You're seeing the person's face. You are sleeping on the same bed with the person. Like, Kai, I don't know how to explain this thing. it's deep. I'm hoping that I'm using the right words. The emotions you're going to be experiencing in marriage is pressed down, shaking together, running over. That's why you see even some of the people who are like believers and very strong can still fall, right? But because you've been able to surrender, you see that battle of surrendering your vessel, you think it's just about your fighting and whether to kiss or not to kiss. No, it's a deeper battle you're fighting. The battle is a battle for your heart. It's a battle for your commitment. It's a battle for who really has you. Because if God can win that war and you are able to stay pure and then you enter, then we're not talking about purity that is done because I want to be a virgin so that my marriage can work. No, we're talking about purity that comes with an understanding that God is supreme and his word is supreme, right? So when you enter into marriage, irrespective of those emotions that you get to deal with, you still have that strength of will to be able to stand and subdue those emotions and go with whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is telling you per time. And this thing is what makes the difference in marriage. So I was speaking about the other kind of marriage. Those are the patch, that one that you people have broken bond. Sex now is routine. You know, when it's happening, you're doing it, you're saying, I'm doing this thing because God said my body is your body and all of that, but you know your heart is not there. All those partial giving, you've given yourself partially to your partner, because even to God, you gave yourself partially to God. Because if you can't keep yourself whole, it's partial giving. It means, God, I give you my heart, so I tell people I'm saved, but I can't give you my body. It's partial giving. You see, so this thing too affects your marriage. You begin to have partial living in marriage. You are living your partner partially. It's supposed to be two shall become one, but you people will be struggling to be that one. The struggle. But when you find out that you can actually surrender in terms of this body place, the coming together to form that oneness, you just experience ease. I tell you, and it's a blessing. It's a mighty, mighty blessing.
Wow. This is awesome. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. You really did a well justification to the question. Thank you so much, man.
Okay. Thank you very much, Quincy San. This is Quincy San. Thank you, Mr. Olushola. Thank you, Mr. Zufo. So I'm going to take the next fastest fingers up for Glow and for MTN. Are you ready? Hello, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm taking the fastest finger for glow. The fastest fingers, Glow. Okay, 29 193 372 34 372 34 05 877. That's it.
Who's got it?
Nobody got that.
It was open.
Hello? Did Hello? Anyone get
No, technically.
Okay, can you hear me clearly now?
Yes.
Okay, I go again. Glow 29193. Wow. 37234 05877.
There's no person going on.
Okay.
Somebody has gotten the card. Who has?
Who has gotten the card?
Which is going to be hard given the losses we sustained on our last quest.
Somebody has gotten the card, though.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let me move to the next one.
MPN. No, please, who has gotten the card?
Okay. Who got the card?
Are you?
Nobody. You said?
Nobody's picking up. I don't know.
Okay, somebody got the card. Okay, fine.
Somebody has gotten the card, but I don't know why the person is picking up.
Okay. Okay. Let me just continue then. Okay, MTN now. MTN. 6183-9368.
Comfort says she got the card, though, that she's been trying to speak, but no one seems to be hearing her.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Okay, so I'm calling the MTN now. 6183-9368-2945-91817. Who has gotten it? Has anyone gotten it?
Yes, Roy.
Oh, Roy, again. Roy, you are disqualified.
Wow.
Roy again.
This is hilarious.
All right. So I'm going to hand over to my co-moderator to take questions. And so we round up for tonight. Over to you, Samuel.
Okay, thank you so much, Nas. Thank you. Thank you so much, Matu. If you have a question or you have a contribution concerning the questions we've asked previously so far, kindly signify. You can raise up your hand or you just signify so we can talk about it. Hello, can you all hear me?
Yes, Hello? I can hear you.
Okay. So if you have a question or you have something you want to add to, you know, the discussion so far, you can just signify so we can attend to you.
All right, I have a question.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I do not know if this was like tweeted before I joined in because network didn't let me join in as early as 8 o'clock. So I understand the boundaries and all of that, but then how do we balance boundaries and then long distance relationships? Because, you know, because of distance, I understand that there are times, you know, both parties have to see each other and spend some time, right? So how do you balance the boundaries with the distance? That's my question.
Okay,
I would answer that because I was the one who spoke about the boundaries, right? So okay, remember that when I mean that's why I said that I wasn't making rules, right? When I said long distance relationship and, you know, avoid the whole, you know, you can pay for flights, but avoid. I'm not saying don't see each other, right? It's very important that you guys see. But even when you are seeing, how are you seeing? Not the one that you say because you have a boyfriend. Personally, I am not in support of it, right?
you will now stay in his house. Then both of you will stay, and maybe he lives alone. But of course, you know that these things are a bit different. If maybe his house, there are people there, he doesn't live alone. You yourself, when you're traveling, you can come around with a friend. These are boundaries. Remember that what we are aiming at is your own protection. You know what it is, because last, whatever it is that wants to happen, it's not as if even if the whole, I mean, if the house is filled with people, you guys cannot just separate yourself.
Exactly. Do that,
right? But we know you will not. That's the, do you get it? Boundaries is not, and so I've done all the boundaries and I stay upon God. It's not my fault. That's not what boundaries is about, right? Boundaries is, you know your own weakness. You know what you struggle with. There are some persons that will make that trip and maybe they are not really quality time people or stuff. So the effect is not going to be as much. Maybe their own is receiving gifts. There are certain kind of gifts he should probably not just give you yet. Maybe no matter what, he shouldn't come and get you on this, or he shouldn't come and get you, you know. I don't know how to explain. You know your own weakness. The idea is guard yourself. That's the point. Yes, that's the point. So I'm not saying that when you are having long distance relationship, you guys shouldn't see. But even if you're going to see, how often? If you're going to see, where? You know, so I don't know. Maybe that's what Sholam. I also have one or two things to throw in this, but this is just straightening it up on my end.
Okay, thank you.
Right, do you have
keeping something?
Do you have something to add? Okay, we can hear you. We can hear you.
All right. So, boundaries can be very, very tricky. And just like Tisan said, I think boundaries are per relationship. Because I remember one time. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So I remember one time when during when we started dating, I think the first 1 week or something, I think they shock us. Because like Shola said, it was quite awkward the first 1 week and all that. So I used to be very conservative about hugs. I still am, but I'm just quite, I've just like kind of loosened up a little bit. So around this time, Shola and I saw like repeatedly for like 4 or 5 days, like we were seeing back to back, like there was a genuine reason to see. And for every day we saw each other, we were hugging. So on this particular day, I sent him a text that I wanted to tell him something. And he also said, oh, I have something to tell you, but you go first. No, you go first. Before I pushed it. Then I said, I kind of feel like we're hugging too much. And it was like, that's exactly what I wanted to tell you too, that it'd be like this hug is no longer normal. No, for some people, they feel like, oh, yeah, these people are weird, waiting they hug and all that. But I know what I felt, and I'm not going to lie about what I felt, right? So we had to like, okay, yeah, let's put a pause to it for now and all of those stuff. So, yeah, for some people, hug is not what they need to stop. Hug is not probably part of the boundaries, or maybe it's just not a thing for them and all of those stuff. But when it comes to like in a long distance relationship, you know that it is very important for you to see. But at the same time, this is why it is very important that before you get into a relationship, you have some sort of emotional maturity and some sort of self-awareness that tells you, maybe say now when something can't do you, you can't talk, say, I didn't even know how it happened. But if you're already emotionally mature enough to, you know, be aware of what you feel, you'll be able to know you. So this, when you intentionally walk there, you will know that you were the one that walked there by yourself. So yeah, that's it.
Very lovely example.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Ma. Thank you so much. So do you understand better now? Are you able to get something?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, sir.
Okay. So any is there somebody else?
Yes.
Question. Okay. Yes. You can ask your question, sir.
Maybe as a lady, maybe you want to get married, doing your courtship. You are doing courtship, and the guys, the person that want to get married to you, after marriage, you discover that he's not having a manhood. as a Christian, how do you deal with that? Maybe he has done something and repented. As a Christian, how do you deal with that situation?
This is very funny. That's what is going to respond, but let me answer it first off. There's something called, you know, when we turn on this question, I think some of these questions have funny attachments and affiliations. You know that you're not dating a stranger, right? You're not going to be marrying a stranger. We understand that God has told us that we should practice sexual purity. He did not say you should be ignorant. There are very valid questions that will be asked before a man is given in marriage or a woman is given in marriage. During counseling, in fact, I was watching my traditional wedding video. They literally had to tell my husband to stand. Let's count your fingers. Oh, yeah, check his manhood. I'm not joking, no. Yeah, it was funny, but when we say one, there's something called marriage rites, you think people come to joke when it comes to marriage? It's just that many times we skip processes. Then at the end of the day, when you land, they will tell you, do premarital counseling, do this, do this, do this, do that. Marry your friend, marry somebody you know, let God lead you. All these are processes that God has put in place. To actually help us or preserve us or save us from these issues. A man that does not have a manhood should not keep that kind of information from the person he wants to share, spend the rest of his life. That's wickedness. If you're going to meet the woman who will marry you without a manhood, she'll marry without a manhood and she will decide that this is the cause I'll carry and God can do it. You never can tell. That's the truth. Right? So
yeah.
It's already a marriage based on deceit, but peradventure it happens, my dear. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be an easy pill to swallow. Because marriage founded on deceit, and then the lady will now decide now that, okay, this thing, can I go on with it? Or, Lord Jesus, what do I do? That's between her and the Holy Spirit, because it's not an ideal. This is not how God has planned it. There are steps that they must have broken, including the fact that the man lied. You cannot be dishonest about, they always tell you, is there anything you feel this lady should know? I had those kind of conversations with my partner. There's something that I should know about, something that you are scared that maybe she knows she will leave me and all of that. But you have to come out clean. If the person will not marry you, the person will not marry you. I remember one day on the radio, we had a show where people spoke about the fact that, to cut this very long story short, a woman that had slept with, she did prostitution to get money to give to her partner who was supposed to be going to be her husband, but not her husband yet. Of course, we know that these people are not even believers, right? So people were saying that she was going to marry the man now, and she was having a conscience prick, and she wanted to know if she should tell this man she was going to marry that this was what she did to get the money for him. Oh, and you should have seen people's response. Die with your to see, is everything you say. Even recently, I listened to Ike Osakodu who are still saying something of that sort, that it's not everything you say. Keep quiet. It's not, that's not what the scripture is. I don't know. This Bible, I don't know. That's not, you, if you understand that marriage is this, as in there's something Pastor Kingsley said, the man existed, then God put him to sleep. Like, you are the female version of your husband. Your wife is the female version of you. Your husband is the male version of you. This is you. If we don't get, if we can't understand this thing, then every other time we're going to do, it's like we're trying, as if we want to make God a liar, but it's not possible. So, Roy, do you see all these things that God has put in place that is human being trying to use their corny ways? And Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. That's the truth. So there are peculiarities, there are little other ways, including seeking counsel, including speaking to, the issue is now quite is a dicey situation. It's just like mine, a man who is a wife beater, but you never knew and stuff. It's not very peculiar. There are so many things to it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, ma. Thank All you right. so much. So, Ms. Dazu, can you please contribute to this?
Yeah. Okay, Sister, I said a lot, but I just want to quickly say that we do not live life based on exceptions, but on principles. Now,
when people ask questions like, so how do I find out that this person cannot eventually satisfy me sexually? I'm like, as opposed to what? Like, what are you comparing it with? And why are you believing the worst of a situation? Are you not God's child anymore? Why do you think you're going to marry somebody that does not have whatever? Because I don't really know what that question means. And I'm not even trying to be funny, but that's the truth. I don't really know what that question means. Because there are processes to... You're not going to pick a stranger on the road and marry the person. See, on this journey of sexual purity, it doesn't mean that you're not going to share struggles on some days. You're not going to share struggles of... The person letting you know how much they are attracted to you. And then you say vice versa and all of those stuff. And when you get to counseling, they are going to ask you questions. You will answer questions. Questions that will unearth certain things that you get to talk about. So, yeah, the reason I'm not going to be talking about what you should do is because I want to believe most of the people here are single. So take your eyes away from, and when I say single, I mean unmarried. You could be in a relationship. So take your mind away from exceptions. Or more, if you see that girl, the man said they should not have sex. So, but boom, they got into the marriage. The man is impotent. Take your mind away from such. God gives his sons to his daughters. God is, now God created this thing. No permutation, see, there's no permutation outside of the Bible. So if God has not said it, then it is not to be said. If God has not said it will be done, then it is not to be done. So yeah, let's not live life based on exceptions. There are principles as commanded by the Bible. Let's stick with it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, everybody. So because of our time, we won't be able to further take any more questions tonight. So the next thing we are going to be doing now is for the fastest fingers again. Are you guys ready? Hello, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, are you set?
Network.
Okay, we have MTN here and we have Glow here. So I'm going to be starting with the Glow. Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. 29075 03 412 46746. Let me know what you get.
Thank you. I got the card. And
who got the card?
Roy.
What? Roy is taking everything tonight. Wow, that's great.
Roy, don't try again. Let's take this time, please.
Okay.
Okay, let's please kindly step down. Let others participate. Okay, so we are going for the MTN now. Are you guys set? Hello.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll be calling the numbers now. You guys, you're listening. 7521 4285 0222 61261. Kindly simplify. Got it.
Did anybody get it yet? Or should he call it again?
Should I call again?
All right, again.
You got it?
Nelly said she got it.
Oh, I can't hear you, please.
Nelly said she got it.
Oh, okay. That's
Nelly said that.
That's beautiful. Congratulations on that. That's beautiful. Okay, so right now I'll be handing over to my partner, Nas. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you everyone for staying this long. Thank you to all our guest speakers, Mr. Shola, Ms. Dazu, Mrs. Quincita. I appreciate you so much. Thank you. So, Mrs. Quincita, I would ask you to help us close the prayers, please.
All right, Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for such a time as this. We thank you for this discussion that has been held. We ask, Lord, that wherever in the world this message is played and people listen, that beyond the conversations, Lord, that your spirit that reigns supreme, your spirit that transforms, your spirit that helps us to live a life that is pleasing to you, is quickened on their inside in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here that is living with a resolve to be better in their relationships, in how they relate with you, in what they prioritize? Father, give them the grace to stand firm and not to fall by the wayside in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there anyone that needs deeper counseling that probably might not have spoken out, might not have said anything? Is there anyone who still feels that he or she has gone too deep? I'm now addicted to sex. I don't know how I can stop. Father, let your hand of deliverance reach that person now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is the grace to live a holy life. There's the grace to live a holy life. And the spirit that is in charge of holiness is the Holy Spirit. And once we permit him to take action, he begins to work in us to live in accordance to the will of God. And so therefore we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that the will to do what is right, that the partnership, the friendship with the Spirit of God, like never before, is activated from now henceforth in the name of Jesus. Whether they're listening in Asia, whether in the United States, whether in Africa, wheresoever it is that you are listening right now, we decree, oh God, that grace to live a life that is pleasing to God is released unto you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for success. Thank you for everything. For in Jesus' most gracious name, we have prayed.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much once again, everyone. God bless you. Have a blessed night.
Good Thank night. You so much. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Ma. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Paul, for joining. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you so much.